There are a few callings in life that is noble and sacred, and one of them are mothers raising their children. Have a moment to think, who is the catalyst bringing Christ in your family?
I see your tiny face, your fingers wrapped in mine. I wonder how I raise this precious gift of life. I'll give you all my money, but you can buy what you need. I'll show you all. But there's a love I found that's sturdy in the storm. The very God who formed you gives grace enough for us. And though I won't be perfect, I'll teach you to trust. I wanna give you faith. I wanna leave you.
Moment, would I be able to ask all the mothers, the grandmothers, to stand up and sing with us? My great-grandmother was a Christian in China. My mom has never met her. She prayed for her family to be saved. My mother was 33 years old when she got saved and found Jesus. She encountered God. I was the fourth child in that family. I am so thankful for my mother. She had shown me God. Thank you so much, Mom. Through my mom, everyone in our family got saved. Majority of the family serving God, amen. She showed me faith. Let's stand up, moms. Deuteronomy 4:7-9 says, "For what great nation is there that a God hear to it, as the Lord our God is to us, whenever we call to Him? Only be on your guard and diligently watch yourselves, so that you don't forget the things your eyes have seen, and so that they don't slip from your mind as long as you live. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren."
He will give you faith. He'll give you hope. He'll be the love that will never let you go. He will give you faith. He'll give you hope. He'll be the love that will never let you go. More than wisdom, more wealth, more than happiness or health, may you say, "I gave you faith." May you say, "I gave you faith."
Thank you so much to all the mothers. We won't be here without each of you guys. We love you. You may be seated.
And Chandra, Jackie, and May, thank you so much for singing that, with sharing that with us. Moms, happy Mother's Day. Mothers is a calling. It is it's a ministry. And it is something that is easy to take for granted. But today we want to acknowledge you and say we love you, we thank you. We need to pray for our moms. Lift them up. The message today I want to share with you is called The Legacy of Faith. A Legacy of Faith. This is a Mother's Day message. For some, though, we need to remember that motherhood may be something that was totally unexpected, and maybe not always welcomed. For some, physical reasons meant that motherhood was just not possible. For some, they had mothers perhaps that just were not all that nice. For some, motherhood had heartaches and difficulties, many. And others maybe look at their motherhood as a failure. On the part of children, some children maybe didn't have loving mothers growing up. It doesn't bring good memories. And some maybe did not even know their mothers. Some lost their mothers because of a tragedy. There could be some negative sides that we can focus on motherhood. I read the words of a poet named Wilhelm Busch. I won't read the German part because my German is not very good. But translated, it means to become a mother is not so difficult. On the other hand, being a mother is very much so. So with all these negatives, why bother with Mother's Day at all? I'll tell you why. Because for all of the stumbling blocks, because for all of the pitfalls, the dreams, the heartaches, the failures,
For all we talk about this beautiful plan, a natural part of God's creative order to bring love and caring into this world. Yes, people are sinners because of the fall. We know that, and we see evidence of that everywhere. Sin has affected everybody. But motherhood, as God planned, is a wonderful thing. We should honor it and lift it up as a constant reminder of the gift that God has given to us, that gift of love and caring. All of us should work to teach the highest ideals of motherhood by the example and by our words to our children. Let me ask you a question. Who's the greatest influence that you had in your life? Maybe it was a teacher. Maybe it was a professor. Perhaps you would say it was a friend, or maybe a spouse that was the greatest influence. But a poll was asked that question by to some 4,000 adults, and people were allowed to give any of these responses. But the results of this poll was very revealing. 42% of men and 53% of women said that their mother was the most influential person in their life. Mother. Mothers, your role and your responsibility is immense. It is huge. Don't forget that. On this Mother's Day, we pause to honor mothers and reflect on the most important contribution that they have made to our lives. I want to read a passage from 2 Timothy. It's not, I tried to come up with a theme text every message. And our theme text I gave this week was from Deuteronomy 6. You saw it on the overhead display. And we'll get to that in a moment. But it's not our springboard text. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Follow along as I read this. Paul the apostle writes to Timothy. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Let us pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for our moms here this morning. And Lord, motherhood is such an important calling. And Lord, so many of us would say one of our greatest influences in our lives was indeed our mothers. All that they poured into us, that they loved us, that they sacrificed, that they gave. And hopefully for so many of us that they taught us of God, that they taught us of Jesus and our need for Him. We thank you for godly, faithful mothers. And Lord, I pray for our moms in this room, in this church, that Lord, you would give them strength, give them wisdom, courage beyond themselves, that they may, Lord, be the godly moms that you call them to be. Lord, I pray for anybody in this room who may be uncertain of their own relationship with you, their God and Creator, that, Lord, today they may have a deeper, better understanding of who you are and what you have done for us, that they may trust you. We pray this in Jesus' name, and we say, amen. Paul here in verse 5 mentions two women, Lois and Eunice, who were the great influences in young Timothy, the preacher's life. He mentions grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. Not much is known about these ladies, but forever they are placed in the Word of God as a symbol of mothers who were faithful. Mothers who faithfully brought up their children and taught them, like mother and grandmother did with young Timothy. And they laid that foundation in Timothy's life, and their names were specifically mentioned for this purpose, for this reason. The Bible doesn't tell us a lot about these women of faith. We do know that his mother's name was Eunice, and that was a Greek name. And she was married to someone who was Greek, who did not raise his son in the Jewish tradition. And we see that later in another passage where it reveals to us that Timothy was not circumcised, as all Jewish boys were. Okay, and then Paul later, as we'll see, had brought him to be circumcised so that they can better minister and reach those who were Jews. So we understand this about Timothy and his mother, but yet she taught Timothy the scriptures. Paul said that that faith, genuine faith, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I'm persuaded that's in you also. They grounded him in scripture. They laid that foundation of scripture. What scripture did they lay the foundation in? The Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament scriptures. That wasn't what they taught Timothy, but they did teach him the Word of God that they had, that was revealed, and that was in particular the Old Testament. I want to show you a picture. I like pictures. You see this picture? You know where this is? I know a couple of you may know where this is. This is at a museum in Jerusalem. It is the Israel Museum. This is the location where, well, there were several things here, but one of the things that they showed here as, by the way, that's me and Jennifer and our guide, our tour guide. Hila, is that right? Hela or Hila? Hila. Her name was Hila. She actually came to our church the year before last and shared some things with us. She was a great tour guide, and we greatly appreciate her. But we went to this place here, and the next picture, inside that room that looks like a jar, was copies, not copies, they were the original hand-done copies that they had found by the Dead Sea, called the Dead Sea Scrolls. Okay, they were found in caves in Qumran, and they were hid there during a time of unrest when the Romans were coming through and just ransacking everything. So they hid these hand-done scrolls of the Old Testament scriptures, and they display them in this museum area. They had a display of parts of the scroll of Isaiah. These were the scriptures that they had faithfully taught to Timothy. This was the Word of God, and they valued it, they treasured it. And as they study these scrolls, these copies, the hand-done copies of the Word of God that they found in these caves, they realize just how truly accurate our scriptures are that we have today as they read them and as they compare them with these scrolls. Seems she was faithfully teaching Timothy the faith that was taught to her by her mother Lois, Timothy's grandmother. Timothy grew up under the careful teaching of Lois and Eunice, and soon he showed a faith in the Redeemer that was his own. We read of young Timothy's introduction to Paul in the book of Acts chapter 16. In Acts 16 verse 1, we see, then Paul came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed. And that Jewish woman was Eunice. And his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. So here we see, not only was Timothy well spoken of despite being Greek, and it was well known by all the Jewish believers that he was a Greek. He wasn't one of them. His father was Greek. It was different. He was looked down upon by some, but yet they recognized he had an understanding of God. He had an understanding of the scriptures. And we also see here that Timothy was willing to do whatever he had to do to reach others for Christ. Who gets the credit for this faith that Timothy has? Ultimately, yes, we have to say God, of course, gets all credit. Without the Lord, without the Spirit of God, you know, there is no salvation. And so we understand that. But yet we cannot overlook the fact that his mother and his grandmother were specifically named as influencers in his life that had an impact, that had a part that God used in drawing him ultimately to the Redeemer, to the Promised One, the Messiah, the Savior, Jesus Christ. This happened ultimately because of Christ, but mother and grandmother were used by God. Long ago, God gave this pattern to Israel, and here's the text that I wanted to share from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Read this with me, would you? Let's read it together. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And we'll stop here for now. There's no place in the Bible of the idea of just letting the next generation try to find God on their own. You know, if God wants to save them, then they'll find him eventually. God instructs us. He instructs parents, includes fathers, of course, but this includes mothers like Lois and Eunice and like you, to teach them diligently at home. Teach them of the Word of God when you're lying down, when you rise up, when you walk along the side, at home, when you're sitting, wherever. Be faithful to teach them of God. The truths of God must be passed on to the next generation. If we don't pass them on to the next generation, we lose that generation. And this happened with Timothy, not likely by his father, we can see, but certainly mother and grandmother were involved. They were influential. By the way, the next verse, verse number 8, goes on to say, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. This is the word of God, and he's instructing them how they are to perceive and view the word of God. Let me show you another picture that I found very interesting. You see this picture? You know where this is? It's again in Jerusalem. This is at that Western Wall. It has been known commonly as the Wailing Wall. All right, and this is where Jews go regularly. It is a part of the Temple Mount. It is a place that Jews are allowed to go, and they go to this wall and pray, and they will roll up their prayers into little scrolls and stick it into the wall. But as I was observing and looking around, you see a lot of young people like these guys. You see this fellow's arm? You know what he has on his arm? He's bound the Word of God to his arm. And there's something that represents the Word of God on his arm when he goes there to pray. You see what he has on, they have on their heads? Between the eyes, it's a little box. And again, that represents a little scroll, the Word of God on their heads. And so, fellas, we're going to be giving out some boxes for you to wear next week. Now, that's the intention here, and that's what Jews continue, Orthodox Jews continue to do, and how they practice. We take it as not just being something to literally bind to your arm and to your head, but God was dealing with something that should be bound in the heart, a heart issue. And with Timothy, his mother and his grandmother were very instrumental in binding the Word of God to him and laying that foundation. Let me give you a few points to take home before we're done. The first one is this: our faith must first be in us. Our faith must first be in us. You can't give what you don't have. You cannot give what you don't have yourself. Mothers, greatest gift you can give to your family is that you have a walk with Jesus Christ yourself. That you know the Lord, that you love him, that you are living for him. Saw this picture a while back. I thought it was humorous, but sad. And says here, the parents are saying, we're teaching our children the importance of regular church attendance. What time should we pick them up? We're here to teach them how important it is to go to church. You just tell us the time, we'll come and get them when you're done. That's sad. That's not too far from a lot of truth, though, with some families. It doesn't work that way, does it? Our faith must first be in us. We read in verse 5 of 2 Timothy 1, when I call to remembrance, Paul says, the genuine faith that is in you. You got it, Timothy. I see it in your life. You love the Lord. You want to live for him. You know, God is real in your life, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. He knew his mother and grandmother. Obviously, he's seen them. He's talked with them. He's seen them in action. And he sees the genuine faith that they have as well. And he says, I know where the foundation comes from. And I persuaded Timothy that it's genuine in you. This faith was genuine. And this word genuine, it means to be sincere and without hypocrisy. We've talked about this in church before. We talked about how it kind of comes from the term that was used for determining the value of pottery at the time. And pottery that was sincere meant that you could hold it up to the light and you wouldn't see cracks that were filled in with wax. They had a way that they could make it look good, but it was not genuine. It had cracks in it. And so this term means to be sincere without hypocrisy. There's no cracks when you hold it up to the light. It's the real thing. I wanted to share you a picture of translations. The Bible that we have here is a translation. What translation do I use here at IBC? I use the New King James, when we teach and when we preach. In times past, we had used the King James Bible. We found it quite difficult to use, especially with English people who spoke English as a second language. We spent more time teaching and preaching or trying to explain what the Bible meant than what the words meant than what the Bible was saying. Typically, translations are into three kind of categories. There's a word-for-word translation. And by the way, very few are actually word for word, but their emphasis is word for word. So even word for word translations have examples that we can find of other kinds of translating. Then there's thought for thought. Sometimes a word-for-word translation doesn't make complete sense in our language. And those of you who speak other languages, you can relate to that understanding. It just doesn't quite translate over properly. But you can find a thought that is very similar to it and share that. And then there is the paraphrase, which is more of a person's commentary on what they think, you know, it says in their own way. Okay, so these are various ways that are translating, people translate the Bible. And there's arguments for, you know, both or for, you know, the different ways of doing it. I remember reading once about a group of pastors who were arguing over which translation of the Bible was the best one. Pastors like to argue, and they like to argue over translations as well. One pastor argued that his favorite translation was the best. And another argued that another one was the best. And on they all went. Finally, one pastor piped up and said, "I think that my mother's translation was the best." When the others asked which translation it was that she used, he said it was the Everyday Life translation. The other pastor says they'd never heard of that one. And he said she translated the Bible into everyday life, and it was the best translation I ever had. And that's what he was talking about, a mother who lived out her faith, her genuine faith that was sincere, that was without hypocrisy. It was the real deal. Oh, mothers make mistakes too, and they have times when they lose it. But they can still have a very real and genuine faith in Jesus Christ that they can pass on to their kids as well. Must be in us first. Timothy evidently had a great translation of the Bible presented by his mom and his grandmother. Let me ask you, what kind of impact is your faith having on the next generation? The simple truth is it is having an impact. Whether you want it to or not, it is having an impact, a good one or a negative one. I know some of you grew up in ungodly homes who didn't know the Lord. Maybe they didn't go to church, nothing like that. Some of you perhaps grew up in good, godly homes and likely came to faith because of that. And some of you, I'm sorry, perhaps grew up in homes where they were Christian on the outside, but not really inside. And you saw that, and it had an impact. Regardless of how you grew up, listen, moms, everybody, regardless of how you grew up, you can set aside the past. Take ownership of your faith, your walk with God, and making sure that that faith is the genuine faith without hypocrisy, the faith that is the real deal. You can take ownership of that, and it starts with you. And you can decide from this day forward that you're going to head towards a different future in your home, your family, with your kids. And you're going to have that faith like Lois and Eunice that you can pass on to them. You can make the change today regardless of the past that you grew up with. Praise the Lord for those of you who came from godly homes who brought you to faith like Lois and Eunice did with Timothy. But those who came from hypocritical homes or ungodly homes, today, you take ownership of that faith that God has given to you through whatever means that he had used. And you say, it's going to be different in this home. I want to pass on this faith to the next generation. Maybe you're here visiting with us. Of course, we want to say welcome. welcome visitors, and especially if you're a mom visitor with us, welcome. We love moms. But if you're here visiting with us and you want something better for your next generation, you got to know it starts with you. You first have that genuine faith within you to pass on. And we urge you, seek the Lord. Come to Him. Come to Him in faith. Trust Him. Ask Him to be your Savior. And then begin that journey, that walk of developing and growing that faith that you can pass on to the next generation. Maybe you're a grandmother. You got grandkids. You can have that influence like Lois had in Timothy's life. Don't feel like it's too late. I've already been a mother. I've kind of messed up with them. No. Today, going forward, you have that influence of Lois in the life of your great or your grandkids, your great-grandkids, however many generations God has blessed you with. And you be that Lois. The second thing, we see how the faith came to be learned by Timothy. To be sure, in one way, the influence was Paul himself. Paul said in verse 13 of 2 Timothy 1, he said, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." So Paul says, I've taught you, Timothy, hold fast to them. Hold fast to those teachings. Elsewhere, we see Paul refer to Timothy as his son in the faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 1. So it indicates that Paul in some way had a part in leading Timothy to know Christ himself. So Paul was also influential in Timothy's life. Now remember, this was a transitioning time. This was a transition time from law to grace, from the Old Testament saints to the New Testament saints and believers. And so Lois and Eunice were teaching Timothy the scripture they had. Jesus Christ had come. At some time they were exposed to the gospel, that is, the Messiah of the Old Testament had come. He had redeemed people from their sins. And they heard this gospel and they trusted. And Paul was used in leading them from that Old Testament understanding to the New Testament understanding, like many Jewish believers did at the time. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples spoke and 3,000 Jewish believers came to know, came to trust Jesus at once on that same day. So many Jewish believers transitioned from the Old Testament to the New Testament through faith in Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul writes, "From childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And so he acknowledges, not only have I taught you, Timothy, my son in the faith, but I know from a child you knew the Holy Scriptures. Why? Mother Eunice, grandmother Lois, they taught him. They taught him well. He was faithfully taught the Scriptures. Which ones? The Old Testament. And they prepared the way for his salvation, which came later on, because the Scriptures point to Jesus. The Scriptures pointed to the Savior, the Redeemer, the Messiah that was promised. And they taught him, he's coming. The Redeemer, the Savior is coming. The Promised One is coming. And they were prepared for that. We see in Galatians 3:24, Paul writes this about the Old Testament. He says, "Therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith." So the law was that which leads us, not to itself, but to Christ. The law was that tutor. It wasn't the objective in and of itself that we should stay under law, but it points us to the one who can save us, because the law cannot save us. By the law shall nobody be justified, Romans 3 tells us. The law cannot save. Why? Because the law convicts us. The law condemns us. Through the law, we have a greater understanding of our how far we fall short of the glory of God. Because the law says, you know, what God's standards are. And what is God's standard? God's standard is perfection. And we all fall short of perfection. So God's standard is be perfect, be holy. And the law has this expectation. Can we keep the law? And some will say, well, we do our best. Well, we got to try. And listen, the law is good. We're not saying the law is evil and bad. But God gave us the law to be that schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, because the law cannot save us. But Christ can. And so through the law, we come to faith in Christ. And by the way, the law isn't just about, you know, external observance. The law says, you know, do not kill. Yeah, that's good. Do not commit adultery. Yeah, we know that. You know, do not lie. But God looks at the heart. The very last the 10th commandment says, do not covet anything that is your neighbor's. Right? Anything that belongs to your neighbor. You're not to covet. What is that? That's a heart issue. No one might see you coveting. No one might know that you're coveting. But it's a heart issue. And because of that, that tells us that all the other laws are also heart issues. And that's why Jesus, he explains it when he says, the law says you shall not commit murder, but I say if you hate someone in your heart, you've committed murder. He says, the law says don't commit adultery, but if you look at a woman and lust, you've committed adultery. No one else might see it and know it, but God knows it. Okay, so it's a heart issue. And that's why God gave it to us, so that we could see the condition of our hearts. And our response should be, oh Lord, what do I do? What can I do? Not our response should not be, well, I've done pretty good. I'm sure I've done my best. No, our best is never good enough to be perfect. And so the law is that schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Timothy's mother, Eunice, and grandmother, Lois, they taught him the law of God. And it was through that foundation laid that he was able to come to faith in Christ when Paul explained the gospel to him. And he put two and two together, and the law was that schoolmaster that led him to know Christ. One of the greatest gifts anyone can have growing up is a godly mom who teaches them to know God's word. If you did, give God thanks for that privilege. And if you did not, if you didn't have that kind of mom, commit today that you will be the start of this legacy of faith. That you will make it your goal, your passion and desire to pass on to the next generation this faith. One more thing, thirdly. We see how Timothy was called on to apply what he learned. First of all, Timothy was called to hold on to it tightly. Verse 13, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. He was to see them as a treasured possession, not to be careless with. Hold fast means to guard it, protect it. Like in a military sense, you surround it and you protect it, you hold it fast. Because it's precious. But secondly, he was called to grow in the things that he learned. Verse 15 of chapter 4, chapter 4, verse 15, he says, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. It's not enough then just to receive them, this faith. We must nurture and grow in it. This means keeping away from things that may pull you away from it. And focusing, keeping your heart and your focus and your eyes upon the Lord. Paul urged Timothy later in 2 Timothy 2, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the name out of a pure heart, or call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So he tells them, Timothy, he was a young preacher. We don't know exactly his age, maybe early 20s, late 20s. He was a young man, but he was well established, and he was also recognized by others that, you know, he had a good knowledge and understanding of the faith. But he cautions Timothy, flee youthful lusts, the things that perhaps may distract you from continuing to grow and continuing to develop this faith that was handed down to you, and pursue along with others who are also seeking to pursue that faith and to grow and develop it. And so we urge them, keep away from things that pull you away from the Lord. Keep away from the things that are going to drag you down and chip away at this precious treasure of faith that was handed down to you. Thirdly, he was called to pass on the truths to others. In chapter 2, verse 1, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So he was entrusted with this treasured possession, this precious treasure that he had been given through his mother and grandmother, and yes, through the Apostle Paul. God placed this calling on his life. It was like a baton that was passed on to him. You've seen races, like track races, where a team will race together, and when they do a lap, they have to pass on the baton. And the person grabs that baton and keeps running the race. This is the image here. You're running the race. How well you ran, you know, that's up to you and the Lord. But are you going to pass on that baton? You know, the guy who comes running around and he keeps grabbing his baton and runs with it, or he drops it, that's not useful. That's not passing it on to the next runner. And so he urges Timothy, pass it on to other faithful men who will also pass it on to others, and so on and so forth. He was to pass it on to someone else. Who passed it on to you? Are you passing it on to the next generation? This legacy of faith. I hope that if you've had a godly mother or grandmother who passed on their sincere faith to you, that you may take the time to thank them if you can today. I also hope that you will thank God for them. But even more than that, I pray that you will hold fast to that faith, that you will protect it, guard it as a treasure, that you will build upon it and grow in that faith, and that you will pass it on to others who will faithfully pass it on as well. Can I ask you to stand with me, please? We've seen this morning the example of two particular ladies that were mentioned. They were mothers, mother and a grandmother. Not a lot was said about them, but the fact that they were mentioned just shows how important they were in the eyes of God, the ministry that they had, that they faithfully performed in passing on this faith. The calling is ours now. It's yours. And mothers, again, regardless of your background, whether you had godly moms passing on their faith to you, or grandmothers, or whether you did not, or whether you had hypocritical, insincere homes, regardless, today I urge you to say, in my life, I want to develop, I want that genuine faith. I want to grow in that faith with the Lord, and I want to be passing this on to my next generation and the generation after that. That's my prayer. That's my desire. God, by your strength, with your power, help me to do this in my life. I am not perfect. I understand that. But Lord, I want to pass on a sincere faith to the next generation that you've given to me. My friends, if there's anybody here who hasn't themselves come to faith, remember, it starts with us. It starts with you. If you haven't come to faith in Christ, oh, my friends, I urge you today to settle this in your heart and your life. I'm here, Pastor Mike. I know young people, Josh cares about you. We have group leaders, life group leaders. We have church leaders that would be happy, thrilled to share with you the message of the gospel of Christ. Would you trust him today? Would you come to faith in him? Because it first starts in you. You can't pass on what you don't have yourself. Make a commitment today. Today, I am going to pass on that genuine faith to the next generation. Thank you, Father, for your word to us, for the challenge to us, as we read about these women in Timothy's life who were so faithful, and they were instrumental in bringing Timothy to the faith in the Messiah, Savior Jesus. Lord, I pray for each of the moms and everybody else that is here, Lord. But today we want to honor and lift up our mothers. Lord, you've given them a responsibility, a task, and a calling to their children and the next generation after that. Lord, I pray that you would equip them and enable them to pass on the faith, the baton of faith, to the next generation as well. I pray today would be, for some, the start of this process, regardless of their background and what they came from, or perhaps past failures, that today, Lord, you would enable them and equip them for the tasks that they have ahead of them from this day forward. Bless them, I pray. We thank you in Jesus' name, and we say, please take a seat if you would for a moment. We have a few announcements and we'll be dismissed.
Thank you for the message this morning. We have just a few things we'd like to share with you before you're dismissed. In your bulletin under the notices, we have new members class coming up starting on Saturday, this coming Saturday, the 15th of May. This is a new members class for children. So if you have children that are in the children's church, or you think would be a part of this class, see Pastor Ken about this. It's going to be on the 15th of May. That's Saturday next week. And then the 22nd of May from 11 o'clock to 1:30. It'll be right here at the church. So see Pastor Ken or Jennifer if you have children that should be in this class. Also, Christians Against Poverty is a money course that was done a few months back. It's going to be a continuation, or I think, is it the same class, Will? It's a different or a little bit of the same class. Will and Alice will be leading this class. It's going to be coming up on Wednesday, the 26th of May, and then also the 2nd of June and the 9th of June from 7:30 to 9 o'clock right here. It's not only for our congregation, it's for you to also invite and bring people out to get a good handle on financial matters as well. So register if you haven't already. Register with Will and Alice on this one. Also continue to pray for our missionaries, Michael and Shobamani. We mentioned them earlier in the service time, so continue to pray for them this week and our other missionaries whose letters we've posted in the back. So that's all of the announcements for this morning, but maybe you're celebrating a birthday or an anniversary. We'd like to celebrate with you. Anyone with a birthday this coming week? Anyone with a birthday? Come up, Bonita. Come up here. Come up, Joseph. Come on up here. Oh, got quite a few. How many chocolates we got, Jillian? I don't even know where the chocolates are. Oh, there they are. Any other birthdays? How about wedding anniversaries? Anyone with wedding anniversaries this week? No wedding anniversaries? All right, let's all stand together. We're going to sing Happy Birthday, and then Pastor Ken will come and dismiss us in prayer. Happy Birthday.
Happy birthday. Hey, Chandra, what are we doing with the rest of the flowers here? Do we know? Okay. If you ladies, if you would like to exchange one of your flowers or grab some others, please do. We don't want to leave flowers left over here at the front. So yes, please come and grab something. All right. With that, we'll close. Stay for a little bit of fellowship. Take special care of your mothers and grandmothers today and be a blessing to them. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the challenge and encouragement from the Word of God that we've had. Lord, as the admonition still holds, that we teach our children these things at home, when we sit, when we stand up, when we walk along the way. Lord, that we would be faithful to pass on the baton of faith to the next generation, that we would pass this legacy of faith to them. We thank you, Lord, for all of our moms. We pray your special blessings on them today. And may today, Lord, we show that we are truly thankful for them and the work that they do. In Jesus' name, amen.